horses are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces draw the same that burn crosses. Killing in the name of, killing in the name of. Now you do what they told ya. 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 And 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 now you do what they told ya. Don't you die.
Yeah, welcome back to the Homeschool Podcast, you guys. You did it. It's the end of the week. You fucking made it. You could tell everybody to go fuck themselves. Right, Kevin?
That's why we got Rage Against the Machine. You know you're they're doing a tour, right?
Dude, you want to know something?
What?
Let me fucking tell you something, Kevin, right now that you don't know about me, because you know a lot about me, and this is one thing you don't know about me.
Okay.
Is that my Friday ritual is that I put that fucking song on in my car, and I put my volume up until it says Max.
Yeah.
And I fucking listen to that song every Friday.
Who's Max?
You know, the numbers on your fucking volume.
Yeah.
I hit it. I just put it till it says fucking Max, bro.
Well, you must be excited because they announced their new reunion tour. Did you hear about that?
I don't give a fuck about that. I'm trying to tell you about this song right now, bro, that this is my Friday ritual because it's towards the end of the week and you guys fucking made it, okay? Friday is when you reset all over again. You got an answer to nobody. You're your own fucking man, all right, you guys? And you do what the fuck you want to do, okay? That's what the fuck it is. You answer to one person, and there's nobody that fucking owns you, and that's it, bro. All fucking week, you're dealing with people that fucking want to act like they know you, or they fucking own you, or they want to, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to meet me here this time, that time. Let me tell you guys something. It's the end of that bullshit, all right?
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Fuck yeah, bro. You got that damn right,
that's
son.
That's right, man.
Listen, you guys, welcome. It's the Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschool Podcast. Kevin Lyons is here.
Hey, guys.
You weren't here last week. You were feeling a little out of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, man. I had a bad migraine.
Yeah, I know.
Those blind spot migraines.
I told people you were sick. I didn't want to tell them that you got a migraine.
No,
make
I
make you look like a bitch.
No, it's not that. I get blind spots, bro. It's like not
know,
just
dude.
A migraine.
I know. But anyway, I'm glad you're here now.
Thank you.
And we got a guest coming in just a second here. Dude, I love this guy. He's my brother from another mother. He's a badass savage because he was at fucking All Things Comedy Today doing a podcast. He's on his way from Marina Del Rey doing a show right now, and he's going to do a late night podcast here with us. Our guest today is the hilarious, the lovable Steve Simone. Okay. It's going to be a good time today, you guys. All right. I can feel it. We're gonna have a good podcast. It's gonna be a good conversation. But before we get started, this episode is brought to you by homeschoolpod.com. Don't you forget about homeschoolpod.com. Listen, you guys, that's where you get all your t-shirts, mugs, stickers to support the Homeschool Podcast. We really appreciate it. And you know, it's your one-stop shop for everything about the Homeschool Podcast. You can find out everywhere to listen to it or watch it. You know, all the links are in there to subscribe or leave a review. What else you got? You got, like I said, merch, t-shirts and stuff. You can click on tour and see the upcoming shows. You can click on contact and even email us. It's all on there, homeschoolpod.com. And don't forget, the next time you're doing an Amazon order, to go to homeschoolpod.com first. On the front page, you got an Amazon banner, and also click on sponsors. All our sponsors are there. You got an Amazon banner there too. Just click on it. That's all you got to do. Just like one click, and you're supporting the Homeschool Podcast. Do your regular Amazon order like you normally do, and that's it, you guys. We really appreciate the support keeping this going. And also, this episode is brought to you by Masterclass. Masterclass, brand new, you guys. Listen, Masterclass, for the first time ever, is now offering a monthly subscription, okay? You don't have to just buy one class. You don't have to pay for the entire year all at once. You can just do $20 a month, and you can cancel at any time. $20 a month gets you access to the entire website. You can take all the classes at your own pace, however long it takes you to do it. Maybe there's two classes. It only takes you a month to do it. So you could just cancel after the month is over. Until now, you had to buy a class individually or pay like $190 for the whole year. But right now, just sign up for $19.99 a month, and you can take all the classes, or as many or as little as you want, on your own schedule. All right, you guys, I mean, you got everything on there. I personally am going to start taking the fucking acting class on there. I'm going hard on acting. I was just telling Kevin, I'm going hard on acting in 2020, so you guys get ready to fucking see me on the little screen. So head over to the link in the description to sign up for Masterclass today. Listen, stand-up classes, writing, filmmaking, directing, music, poetry, I mean, cooking, acting, it's all on there. You can take them all. You can take a couple, whatever you guys want, okay? And it's never been easier to perfect your craft and enrich your life in something that interests you. I mean, you got history classes on there. That's something that interests you. It's just awesome. I mean, there's a how to be a good storytelling class on there that I want to take next. If you're a stand-up comic and you like storytelling, I mean, why wouldn't you take that? I mean, today's day and age, this is a storytelling time in stand-up comedy. This is like, storytellers have never been bigger than they are now. So I think it's awesome. All right, you guys, you got everything on there. So we got through all the sponsors, homeschoolpod.com. Click the link in the description for Masterclass. And that's it, Kev, right?
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Like I said, we got Steve Simone coming in. I'm here with Kevin Lyons. I'm Augustine Lozoida. It's the Homeschool Podcast.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all. And we're here. We're here. Steve made it. What's up, buddy? I was just telling him before you got here, I was like, hey, our guest is Steve Simone, and I was just like, this dude is a savage, because you did a podcast earlier today, a show, and doing a late-night podcast with us, so I appreciate you squeezing us in, man.
I'm glad that we could finally do it. We've been trying to schedule this for a while.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, dude. I feel like we talk about this every time you come on, too. It's just like, you have a podcast, I have a podcast, we're both comics, Kevin has his own podcast. So, like, honestly, like, I feel like the last, like, two or three times you've done my podcast, Kevin hasn't even been here.
No, I haven't.
Like, yeah. It's just tough. Like, you got to get guests that are always available with your schedule, and then my co-host is like, got his podcast, he's trying to get guests for his schedule. You know, it's tough.
Let's just celebrate that we're here. But I remember I had a friend that was a movie director.
Yeah.
He worked. He was like a real director, and he said the toughest thing about making a movie is getting everybody there on the same day.
Yeah.
And he told me that probably like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh,
you get it.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
so hard.
Imagine how many people that are filmmakers or writers and creators and directors that were just like, dude, this movie's gonna be so great, we got this guy, that's exactly who I wrote this for. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, well, he's not available.
Yeah, that's one of the most upsetting things when we're filming a lot of stuff. I mean, you look at it, it's so, whatever the shoot is, could be so simple to do, but you need a good amount of people to run everything, and getting everybody available for that one shoot, that's why it takes forever to do shit sometimes.
Yeah, and they get people that care and they can really do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had the opportunity to actually film some like different little things that I had the idea for,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't work. It was like being a young comedian where, like, you have a bit in your brain and then you go to say it and it doesn't translate to an audience, even though you know it's funny.
Right.
But you just can't get it to work. And then we had shot some stuff and I'm like, this is terrible. Like, there's so many people that, like, DPs and camera people, everything, lighting, sound, editors, everything matters. Everything.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. But you know what happens with those bits like that is that, like, I always end up, even if it's years later, I always end up making it work.
That's what I love about stand-up.
They'll come back to you like,
I'm finally at that point where like, I can come up with an idea and spit it. 19 years in, I'm finally like, oh, I know this is funny. Let me go play with this and it works.
Uh-huh.
It's a good feeling.
How long into your How long into your career did you start doing stories?
6 years in.
6 years.
Yeah, I.
That's actually pretty quick.
Well, I wasn't getting much stage time. I was like, as any comic listening knows, that's the most difficult thing. There's so many challenges to be a comedian, but in my estimation, the most difficult thing is access to quality stage time.
Yeah.
Especially in really competitive places like New York and LA, and I'm sure like even smaller scenes like Denver, Chicago, like where there's a lot of really good comics, it's tough to have access to quality stage time. And I knew the type of comedy I wanted to do. Like, I even told stories in the limited amount of time I was on stage before moving to LA. That was my style. But then I got to the Comedy Store to really start becoming a real comedian. And I had 3-minute spots. And I'm right. Like,
how do you do stories?
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You just learn how to connect with an audience and be in the moment and talk to them like you already know them and they already know you. That's what I was learning at the store. And then Paulie would bring me out on the road and I would MC, but you can't tell. It's very difficult in a starting a show cold.
Yes.
And only having 10 or 15 minutes to get into a story.
Absolutely.
So I knew the direction I wanted to go in. And then in the summer of 2006, Steve Trevino was really embarking on his first headlining tour. And he goes, all right, I want you to feature, but this is the only promise you have to make me. He goes, throw out your act. He goes, don't do any of this stuff that you know kills. He goes, I've seen you kill. He goes, great, but that's not you. He goes, I want you to make audiences laugh with the same stories you tell us in the car. And he goes, so you have 6 weeks, go do it. And he goes, I don't care if you bomb or kill. And then he would watch. And then after the shows, he'd be like, dude, you were here and the audience was here. Or the audience was here and you were here. And he goes, a couple times you guys lined up and it was fire. He goes, it was amazing. He goes, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And then I got passed at the store. I think it was 2009 or 2008, maybe 2008. It was somewhere around there.
Okay.
It was 2008, I think. I think I moved in with Trevino in 2006, 2007. Finally got passed at the store after 8 years of trying to get in there. But then I was getting all those late night spots. And it was tough. Like, it's a whole different beast. Like, after you're going up 2.5 hours into a show and they'd already seen everything. So, like, it just started to slowly evolve. And then you start getting better spots in town. Then you start getting more road work. And the MC spots become feature spots. And the feature spots become headliner spots. So it was what I always wanted to do, because I always thought that was the funniest. And there were even times like at open mics, if they were a 10-minute open mic and it was a good crowd, I could work. Like, Mike Black used to have a room.
I know Mike Black.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He used to have a room called Splat, and it was behind the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. And we would get to do that, and that was like a 10-minute spot. And it was like a really intimate basement setting, so you could tell stories there. And then Carl DiGregorio used to run a place called the World Cafe in Venice.
Yeah.
And he would give you like a 10 or 15 minute spot on a Wednesday. And I didn't have a car, so I would have to hustle a ride to try to get to one of these places. And then I could kind of do a story there. And it was really frustrating when it would work. And then I go back to the Comedy Store and it's 3 minutes.
After you did that tour with Steve Trevino, and he kind of was, I don't want to use the word force, but encouraging you to do your stories.
Yeah.
After that, would you ever find yourself going back and kind of cheating and doing the old stuff that works and mixing it in with the stories?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Especially after you got past at the store, you're like, I got to get these guys before I can go into my stories, right? And let me just
kind of.
Especially those late night spots, like you can't just go right into a story, right?
Those late night spots, it was just more about trying to connect with an audience. So then that's when I started to sit down on the stools and stuff like that. And then I did that for so many years because you couldn't come out high energy and you couldn't come out with an act. When you're going up late night, you better tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And if you come out like too high energy and too positive, you'll bomb.
So like, what's an example of going out, telling them the truth, not doing your act?
I don't know. You just walk out and just talk about the comedian that went on in front of you or what was going on that day. and then you just start to build it. You start to, like, that's what I started doing, those 3-minute spots. I would just talk about what was going on in the room.
Like, guys, here's what I'm here to do. It's late. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I don't, you know what? I bet on my old iPhone got deleted. But I wonder if on my old laptop I have any of those sets. Because I think my brother got me an iPhone for Christmas 1 year, like 2009, one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And I
think
recorded,
like, right when they came out, right?
Yeah.
Like 2009.
Yeah. And then I record, and all my, I had downloaded everything to a computer somewhere. But there was a lot of the stuff that I was doing then, and I'm just starting to make work now.
Isn't that
or
funny?
Or concepts or ideas, or you bring something back. Like, I used to do a bit, even in those 3-minute spots, I used to do a bit about my dad coming home from work and staying in the driveway.
And, oh, I just saw that floating around online. You just
yeah.
That.
So
it was really funny.
So that was one of the first bits I ever wrote. And my buddy Jason Lucas doesn't do as much stand up anymore. And he started a family. And he'd be like, "Dude, I always think about that bit you used to do." He goes, "You have to bring that back." So then on my last album, when I dedicated it to dads, I was like, "Oh, here's a place where I could, now it makes sense for me to tell this story."
Yeah.
And I think as a storytelling comic, that's what I always have to figure out first. Why am I telling this? So I'll figure out my why, and then the story will just unravel.
I've known that for a while. That's something that I think someone told me. I forget who told me, like, forever ago, that if you have an idea for a joke or a bit or something like that, you always got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
You know, like, why am I saying this? What's the point of this?
Or why am I saying it here? Mm-hmm. Why am I saying it now? Like, I think, like, I was watching our buddy Lee Syatt the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up in the OR, and I think he had 3 minutes. But I was like, "Lee, you should have done this bit here and then this one here. And if you start with this, then it makes sense you're saying this, this, and this."
Oh, structure, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
It's like writing a movie. It's like first act, second act, third act. Mm-hmm. You have to. It's like even joke tellers, they have that structure to a set-up punch joke.
And sometimes, you know, you come up for – I bet you it applies to everything, filmmaking, mm-hmm. writing, stand-up, like – probably come up with a great idea for a film or a scene in a film, and then it just ends up not working. Like how we said when we do stand up, it just sometimes it seems great in your head, it just doesn't work. And then, like, life is so funny that down the road in a couple of years, you're gonna be like, "Oh my god, that's gonna go perfect in this."
Yeah, exactly. We've had scenes like that we've done where it's just like, well, especially writing. When we were filming a short or something, I'm like, "Oh no, we would scrap the scene because it wouldn't work in the story." Mm-hmm. But it's like this thing that you've always,
you save,
I
want
to, I'm going to save this and I can use that for something else.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing too about stand. You're like, is this stand up? Is this a sketch? Is this a scene in a movie? Mm-hmm. Is this just a character trait to add layers to somebody in something else? And like, when you think about, like, does it land? Does it not land?
Yeah.
Like, I always think back to that example of Jack Benny, where they said he has the longest recorded laugh in the history of comedy from his radio show. Did you guys ever hear that story?
I never heard that story, no.
Well, Jack Benny was a comedic genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his whole comedic persona was based on being a cheapskate, right?
Okay.
Like, he would always talk about how he didn't want to spend money. And then on his radio show, once they did a sketch where he gets mugged, and this guy jumps out of the bushes with a gun, and he says, "Your money or your life." And Jack Benny doesn't say anything. And the guy goes, "Hey, listen, bub, I said your money or your life." And he goes, "I'm thinking." And people laughed for like 2 minutes straight because it was set up perfect over 30 years of him developing this persona.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you mean the audience laughed the long?
Yes.
I see what you mean. I don't know why I was
like a recorded laugh. Like, yes. Where people just lost their minds.
That was the longest ever.
Uh-huh. Well, at least that's what
imagine
said.
Doing a 3-minute set and 2 minutes is the laugh.
Can you
imagine? That's the perfect ratio. Every 3 minutes of my set, I want a 2-minute.
You just say 5 words and then they're just laughing the whole time.
The ultimate goal of joke writing. Dude, I feel like I've said this a couple times on previous podcasts, but I have a bit right now. It's newish to me, like only a couple months old, but I've just been like closing with it lately. And the funniest part of it is something that I was doing 5-6 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get it to work. And other comics would tell me, like, "Bro, like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, we don't, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, stop trying to make that joke work. It's not going to work." And I just was like, "All right, fine." I finally dropped it. And I brought it back now. And I actually have, like, a story. And it's such a great setup for the story.
Yes.
And, like, two little, like, tags added to it. That part where I was told it's not going to work is the strongest part of the story.
Yeah, I would say you always have to trust your gut. You know what's funny.
Yeah.
And that just, maybe it's just not ready yet, or mm-hmm. the audience isn't ready yet, or
people don't know what's in your head. Like, in my head, it was supposed to be like this. I just couldn't figure out how to get it out. And people will tell you it's not going to work. But like, if I could explain to you how it is in my head, you would go, it is work. But
that's
then
the frustrating thing.
If I could explain it, then it would work.
Yes.
And I just needed to wait a few years.
Yeah. You get better at the craft. Like, I tell, for whatever reason, I really enjoy mentoring younger comics. And I try to use the metaphor that stand-up comedy is a language.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's funny in your brain and it can be funny to your friends. But how do you translate that same funny story or joke to strangers?
That's what makes you a good comedian or not.
Yes.
You have to have that ability to do that.
Right.
I can't tell you how often I get people that go like, you don't talk about that on stage? You were homeschooled? You grew up with three sisters in a two-bedroom apartment? You guys had four dogs growing up? You don't talk about any of that on stage? And it's like, it's different to say funny things than it is to, is that, what's the expression, like, than to say things funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this might seem like, well, that's a hilarious scenario, but it's like, have to have the ability. That's what makes a good comic, is to tell it the right way.
Well, with our film group, that was one of the things that we had to learn, because there's three of us working together, creatives, and our main guy, our main DP, Anton, you know
yeah.
him, it's so difficult to explain something like how you envision it, because I can work with my writer and he's like, oh, I totally get it, I totally get it, but he's such a visual guy, I have to come up with a completely different way to pitch him an idea so he gets it, and it's almost like it's not how we had discussed it writing. It's just like, you have to find how to explain your vision to people. That is one of the most difficult things to do, because you get it,
and you know your audience. See, like with with Anton, you have to re-pitch it to him, you know what I mean? But you know him, so you know what you need to change. So imagine an audience you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's the challenge. Like, it has to relate universally. Like, that's the freaking challenge, dude.
Yeah.
Well, who said, was it Einstein that says you can understand something, right? But if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to break it down. What is the core meaning of this? Because sometimes, like, you think you know what it is, but it just, you have to be able to explain it simply enough. That's when you'll truly understand what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's cool to have younger comics come to me for advice or whatever, or I like helping people, because as you're teaching, you're learning, and it's like you're just part of this big loop.
I like helping out younger comics too, but I feel like sometimes I'm not in a position to do so. I have learned a lot. Like, I'm almost 11 years into this.
It's a
long time. I just feel like, you know, I'm like, who the hell am I to be telling this kid anything? You know what I mean? That's how I feel. I feel like douchey about it all the time.
Yeah. But I guess it's your at, like, as long as you're not like one of those, like, I see people that do that to people. They're like, hey kid, I'll give you some.
Oh, no.
But if somebody's honestly coming to you, it's just like,
I don't volunteer as much as
I don't volunteer it either, but it's just like, I think if you're just approachable and people feel comfortable talking to you and they happen to be a comic, guess what? You're going to talk about comedy.
Right, of course.
Like, 95% of everything I talk about is comedy.
I know. Yeah, me too.
Like, but that's all comedians talk about. That's all we talk about.
It's almost like the Terminator. You're always constantly learning new things, too. It's just like, so it's okay to always, not just advice, but even if you're so seasoned, you still have things to learn from other people. Even
always.
You know what I mean? In all aspects of it.
Don't even bring up the Terminator right now.
I know. Well, I was going to say, well, that's also one of the cool things about the creative process, because like, as you're explaining your vision, but then somebody might have an idea to make it even cooler or better. And like,
you just opened a box.
Yeah, it's like, just so cool when you actually click with somebody where you're like, I was thinking this, and they go, well, what about this? And you're like, yes!
That's one of my absolute favorite parts of the creative process, is when you're brainstorming and actually coming up with it, because collaboration can get very egotistical too sometimes.
Yeah.
But when people are just like open to their own ideas not being the best and like listening, like, it's not even that somebody gives you an idea to make it better. If somebody could just say something and it makes you think of something else.
Absolutely,
not even that idea, but
something triggered it, right?
Yeah, it's the coolest.
We just did that before you got here, kind of.
Well, that's my favorite thing about LA. Like, I always talk about leaving this city. But what I love is the access to the mines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I have the coolest friends in the world. And I'm like, if I move to Florida or if I move back to Philly, I'm like, I'd have my family, I'd have the guys I grew up with, but I'm like, who am I going to talk to ideas about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, because many... ideas happen when you're hanging.
Always.
Like, I love Kevin to death, but when we're podcasting, when we're getting or setting up over here to podcasting, he always comes in all excited with a great idea. I can't fucking focus on it because I'm thinking about podcasts. He knows it's true.
Yeah.
But it's when you're like, if I go over to Kevin's to hang and we're going to drink and eat and stuff and just, I have nothing to do for the night but just spend time with my buddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come up with some funny stuff.
But it's even the same too.
You like, can't just, if you move to Florida, you can't just call Ari and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
true.
I got a 2-bedroom apartment, so whenever Ari's in LA, he can stay with me.
That's great.
And like, we'll have the best hang.
That's
it's
great.
The greatest. That's why. To hang out with my buddies.
Yeah. That's why you got a 2-bedroom. Just in case.
Yeah. <seriously. laughs> Right? I had a buddy stay with me Monday night. I'm like, you're in town? Yeah, you got a place to crash.
That's great.
Yeah, because I've worked with people, like been creative with other people who lived out here, and then they move back home, and they're just like, oh, but we still got to meet up. We still got to talk and do some more. It's not the same it's when you don't meet up mm-hmm. with somebody. Yeah. There's just that energy of being in this moment of just coming up with like cool shit, you know?
Yeah, I bet there's people listening right now that are like, oh wait, I have an idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just
like something we might say might inspire.
I do that all the time when I listen to podcasts.
Me too.
Sometimes I get mad at the host of a podcast, especially if they're like a really well-known host
mm-hmm.
that is like, their podcast is like huge. I listen to them and I get upset because I almost kind of go like you're the best. You didn't think to ask this question when he said that. Like I do that all. I get so angry when I listen to podcasts. I just go like, bro, why would you not ask him that?
So you're listening to
I should be so lucky to get guests like that. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting the biggest guest on the whole planet, and you didn't ask him about this?
Do you think it's better when people get interviewed or they just talk?
Interviewed.
Like, I think my favorite podcasts are when it's a combination. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes Uncle Joey and Rogan and Ari and Segura. Like,
okay, so maybe I misunderstood what you meant by just talk. Because I meant, like, I'd rather hear the host, like, get them talking and ask them things and get them going rather than just letting the guests ramble on and talk.
Yeah, that's what I have to get better at.
Like, I mean, no offense to, like, anybody, but I just listened to the Edward Snowden episode of Rogan. Did mm-hmm. you listen to that?
No.
Super interesting, but I personally wouldn't have let him go on as much. Like, he just kind of went on and on and on about things that were irrelevant to what we were talking about. And Rogan kept asking him questions, and he kept, like, just... Well, let me start when I was 8 years old, and I was just like, bro, you know what I mean? And but like, I personally would have been like, you know, I wanted to ask him certain things that weren't asked. That's just one example. I'm not trying to like this, bro.
I think he does such a good job of getting people to be natural and relaxed. And
yeah, he does do that. Like, I think Maron is a great interviewer.
Yeah.
Mark Maron.
Yeah.
He gets him
podcasts
going.
Podcasts are so much better than TV shows.
It's so better than like... any radio station with the mm-hmm. talk morning radio. It's like, man.
You know what I'm starting to... Because I still listen to sports talk radio from Philly. That's like my
thing. There's podcasts that are better about sports.
Yeah, but it's the Philly-centric thing.
Okay, gotcha.
That, like, it makes me feel like I never moved.
Okay,
used to anymore is the commercials. Like, if you listen to, like, normal radio, as soon as it gets fun... It's like 3 minutes of commercials. And then it's boring. Then they have to build their momentum back up again. And then it gets fun. And then it's like more commercials.
You know what's funny? This happened like a couple days ago. I was sitting there driving and I went, has Christmas music started yet? And I went over to Coast because that's where the Christmas music plays.
When I listened to the radio, it was all
I love Christmas music.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it's Christmas music. I put it over on Coast. And it was a commercial, and then another commercial, and another commercial. And finally, like after 10 minutes, I went, well, I'll just check back. And I put on a podcast. And then I switched back to Coast, and it was a commercial. I was like, dude. I ended up listening to like fucking 30 minutes of commercials. Yeah. And then finally, it wasn't even Christmas music yet. I was like,
Or it starts right when you're pulling in to wherever you're going.
I think a good host of a podcast has their guests and knows when to shut up. And knows when to talk to get them talking.
Yeah, I was listening to one of my pod. I forget which guest it was. There was something I wanted to listen for. And I realized the only thing I was saying was this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could feel myself doing that and going, you're the worst host mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah, and I'm like, I hate the sound of my own voice.
But if they're, mm-hmm. if they're like hitting something interesting, it's good, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know? Yeah, that like, means I love you podcasts. Got them talking.
I love, like, this is just a great excuse to hang.
Yeah.
But then part of me is like, why do I even have a podcast? What am I doing?
Yeah. I have fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have as much fun podcasting than I do doing stand-up.
Stand-up's always been way more fun for me.
Yeah, that's why I kind of hesitated when I said that sentence.
I love hanging out.
Performing's always the best.
My favorite thing is hanging out. Like, yeah. This right now is my favorite
this
thing.
Is good. I mean, nothing beats performing, but I think it's just that I get to podcast more than I get to do shows.
Mm.
And if it's, I feel like I'm in control of my career when I podcast.
I feel like you're doing something.
When you're out at a comedy club and nobody throws you on and you got no shows, that's like them in control. And when I'm podcasting, it's me in control. Well, fine. Take away my mic. I got my own fucking mic. I'll say what I want to say, and I'll have guests on.
It's all out there. Like, what I'm starting to realize is to just film all your content. Like, everything's another job. Everything takes time.
Yeah.
But it's like, you look at some of these comics that have really built something nice, and they didn't wait for anybody to give it to them.
I have a lot of respect for guys like that.
Yeah, they just started to film everything, chop up their content, redo it.
It's like, okay, you don't want to give me a special?
That's what I'm starting to do. Yeah, you don't need one.
You don't want to book me on your show?
Twitter, YouTube, Instagram.
I'll just fucking go put on my own show at the back room of some bar, and it'll be the hottest night ever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or I'll start a podcast, and you don't want to book me at your club? Fine, I'll do the theater down the street from you because my podcast followers are coming. You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah.
It's cool. There's just
so
much more
work. I'm not one
of
those guys. I respect the guys that did
it. I'm trying to learn how to do that.
Me too.
And then you just keep on putting it out there, keep on doing the work. It's all out there. We just have to work harder.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that next year I'm gonna attack the acting world, bro. I think I'm going to put as much energy. I know it's going to be hard, but like, so is stand-up. And I'm going to put as much energy into it, at least for like a good year, as I do in stand-up. Because I get so little stand-up gigs that it's like, well, I got time then.
Yeah.
To do something. What excuse do I have?
I mean, if it were me, my advice would be buy a camera.
Mm.
That's what I think I'm going to have to do. Film every one of your sets.
Yeah.
Learn how to edit them. Put them on Instagram with the closed caption.
Right. That's what everybody's doing now.
And do that twice a week for a year and then see where your stand-up career is.
Right.
Because when you say acting, it made me think, I had asked you earlier if you read Steve Martin's book.
Right.
And I have not read that since it came out, but certain things that were in that just stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about like when he was in LA starting to like get a little known, and he went, and if I'm getting the story wrong, I apologize, but this is what I remember.
Yeah, Steve Martin, if you're listening,
teasing, like, that's not the story. Yeah. But wouldn't it be great if Steve Martin was one of those?
That would be
listeners?
Great.
And you didn't know.
That one guy who bought the t-shirt. I appreciate it.
That's the coolest thing about podcasts. You never know who's listening.
Yeah. He's like, getting a mention in this.
I remember once being in China. This sounds like a lie. This sounds like the type of lie I would tell to make friends in my 20s.
Yeah.
But I was in China doing a show, and this guy came to the show in China who was a medical student in India. And came to China to see me do stand-up because he listens to my podcast.
Oh, dude, that's awesome, man.
That's great.
And Feng Chao from the Comedy Store was with me. And he was like, no, that... Because I'm like, did that really happen? He goes, yeah, that happened.
That's awesome.
Crazy. People are listening. But in Steve Martin's book, essentially he said this. He went in for an audition, and there was 40 people in the room that looked exactly like him.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, there's no way I'm getting this. And that experience is what made him go, I have to make my money on the road. I'm just going to go do stand-up, and I'm going to become great at stand-up. And then if I want to be an actor, I won't.
So he did the opposite of what I'm thinking to do. Yeah.
Because I think acting, there's just so much. Look, if you want to shoot and do your own stuff, yeah, you have a buddy then that you guys could start doing your own short films. Like, I think, like last night I was talking to a couple comics that are really creative, cool guys that are younger comics, and they were asking really good questions. And we were talking about how cinematic comedy is essentially dead. Like, nobody really makes comedies anymore. Not like how they were.
Oh, yeah.
Because traditional movies are so expensive and humor is so subjective and there's no international markets.
Yeah.
And movies across the board now suck. Television across the board now sucks.
Totally,
everything sucks.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what, dude? If you had a funny group of people and, like, you could buy, like, a dope 4K camera. You could edit something. You could start putting together short 10-minute really funny ideas for movies or funny scenes. Just a couple of funny scenes that aren't stand-up.
Dude, that's what the Workaholic guys did.
That's what everybody's doing. They like, just, all these YouTube influencers, they're just really stinky, terrible, low-budget movies. Yeah. So if you want to be an actor, we could do that stuff. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, well, but it's like you have to learn how to edit. You have to learn how to market. Like there's so – like I. That's why I stand in all of those guys that are producers, writers, editors, YouTube personalities. They're just crushing the content game. And like the gig I had tonight was for this company that mines data for content providers and matches advertisers and content providers. Like that's the world, man. Like this one website – I'm not going to say who they work on. But they get something like – 250 million views a month or no yeah 250 unique impressions or something, over a billion views a month, and they create their own content, and it's like that's all we have to do.
Yeah,
that's it. Like we just have to learn, work harder, put together more skills.
Well, yeah, because before there wasn't the internet and YouTube and all that other stuff. Mm-mm. And that's why everybody is going to auditions and doing the movies. But now you can just put it, you just click send as soon as you're done editing, and everybody in the world planet can see it, can access it.
Yeah.
I need to start recording more of the stand-up because I do clips from the podcast with caption, and I'm putting that up.
Stand-up.
But stand-up needs to be, I need to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to do that a lot more.
And you can make money doing that for other comics. Mm-hmm. Like I've paid like in the past year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different people to try to figure out who I can work with, who I can collaborate with to start getting my – and I'm just starting to get my clips out there.
Right.
And you know what? It's not like my one friend started to help me with my social media. We put 3 or 4 clips out and I only had like 5,000 – just barely 5,000 Instagram followers. But in 6 weeks, it's now over 7,000. Just from putting those 3 or 4 little clips out, and I'm like, okay, I have to do more, which means I have to film more, which means I have to book more shows where I can set up a camera. Yeah. So it's just more work. Yeah, but there's light
being
at the
consistent
tunnel.
With it too, being because like, oh, we did this once, but you need to be able to do that all the time.
All the time.
You don't have that schedule and everything just to be a machine.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
your own network.
Yeah.
So it's so much work.
Yeah.
Like that's why I was like, oh, I did the podcast today. I did the gig. I came here and I'm starting to get exhausted and I'm trying to reach out to my friends that are super achievers. And I'm like, how do you avoid being burnt out?
Yeah.
Cause I don't have a life. I don't have any balance right now. So I don't know.
Yeah. I feel you, man.
But I wouldn't, if it were me and if I was in your situation, the way technology is and your network of friends and your desire for stand-up comedy, I would not be paying for an acting class if it were me, and then going out and doing these auditions that pay nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you could put together your own content without somebody messing it up.
Well, I wouldn't be doing it to make money. I would be doing it just to get my face and name out there, you know?
But you don't need them is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, yeah.
It could be your own content. It could be you, and you could own it.
Yeah, you're right. I really need to... put my stand-up out there, man.
It's funny, though, because what you want to do, the most, at least from when I was doing it a long time ago, the best route to get regular money doing it is, like, doing commercials.
And that's not fun.
It's also not
– the money's not what it was.
No.
Like, the industry's just changed so much.
Sure, yeah.
Like, when I did a commercial, it was a buyout, and I got, like
– Yeah.
At the time, it was great money for me, but it was, like, $2,000 for a national commercial.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me too.
Yeah, and you start going like, wait, how many auditions did it take to actually? Could the auditions I was going for, they didn't know what they wanted.
Yeah,
like that's when I knew like it was a waste of my time. Or I'd walk into a room and everybody looked different. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and then they would change the sides to and I'm like, they don't know what they want.
Yeah,
and then you go through maybe 10, 20, 30 auditions like that till you get a call back, and then you do the call back, and then if you book the thing. You start adding up the hours, and you're like, what am I doing this for? Whereas 15 years ago, if you booked a national commercial, you're like, that's 50 grand. That's 100 grand.
Yeah.
I remember talking to people when I worked at the gym that were out here in the 80s, and they were like, I bought a house in, like, not Newport Beach, Redondo Beach with one McDonald's commercial. Like in the 80s, they were making $200,000-$300,000 off of commercials.
Crazy, man.
Dude, it was crazy. Yeah.
You ever talk to Jackson McQueen?
Mm-mm.
You know him though, right?
Yeah.
Dude is the king of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a while he was teaching a class on how to book commercials.
Mm-hmm.
He told me like when he first moved out here that he was like making bank and the residuals too. It was like,
yeah, we're crazy money.
Remember one time he came on the podcast and he told us that he was like, dude, when I was going to the mailbox, it was like every day was Christmas, bro. He was like, it was crazy. He was like, I came out here and I bought my car, like paid for it in cash. Mm-hmm. That was insane. I mean, I still see him in commercials, but it's like nowhere near what it used to be.
If you want to have any questions about show business, about acting, this, that, whatever, talk to Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
Like, Uncle Joey loves you, and nobody knows more, nobody's done more than Uncle Joey.
It's true.
And nobody gave him anything. And he is arguably the most talented guy I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody funnier than Joey Diaz. And it's, what, 30 years of hard work to get to where he is
Absolutely.
Right now?
Yeah.
So talk to him and go, where should I be focusing my energy? Like, I was getting so busy for a while where I took a break from my podcast. Like, I had a full-time job in addition to everything I was doing. So I was doing the podcast every other week. I'm like, that's enough. Because I haven't made a dollar off of it. And it's been like 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I got burnt out and I was pitching all these TV shows and stuff. Because that's real. I'm an idea guy. I get excited by ideas. And it was just so much fun to go through that process and this and that. I'm like, and then Uncle Joey just called me. I didn't do a podcast essentially from Christmas through Easter. And then Uncle Joey called me. He goes, what's up with the podcast, dog? And I go, I've been really busy. And you're slipping.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, I'll put one out this weekend. It's only because I love you. And I haven't missed a week since.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I'm so grateful to have somebody like that in my life that knows what they're talking about and that also loves me enough to tell me the truth.
Yeah, he's checked me so many times.
So ask Uncle Joey. Go, hey, look, this is where I am with my career. What should I be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you. He'll give you better advice than anybody else in the world.
Yeah, that's probably true. I know. Sometimes, like, I've known him for so long, and he's on me with stuff like that, too. Like, he'll hit me up and be like, you know, yo, where are you going out tonight? And be like, I don't have anything tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to go to a movie or stay home, right? And I'd be like, stay home. Go to a movie. He was like, oh, last time I checked, he goes, it's so funny. He'll be funny with it. He goes, last time I checked, Saturday night was comedy night. I don't know. Did things change?
Always. But you know what? I remember him tell me once. He was like, if you're getting up on stage consistently, he's like, you don't need an acting class.
Hmm.
And then I remember him saying, Mitzi Shore had everything so figured out. She goes, why do you think she gives you 3 minutes as an open mic?
Oh, totally.
So you can be ready for auditions.
Yeah.
So you can hit your mark, so you can get your story out in 3 minutes. He goes, that's a commercial audition.
Yeah.
I was like, my God. So talk to Uncle Joe. He knows everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I haven't asked him for advice about anything in a really long time.
Go to Joey.
You know, I came to a point where I was just like, I never really like, I'm like, I'm going to stop asking him for stuff. You know, he's always giving me so much. I never ask him for anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, the kid doesn't owe me anything. So
no, but
advice is different. It's never like, I guess you're right. It hasn't really occurred to me in a long time.
Yeah.
Normally we just talk as friends these days, you know, we just check up on each other and that's it. But yeah, I think a lot of the time with him, I try to pretend that things are better than they are because I don't want him to like be like, well, you're slipping. You know what I mean? Like that. Like I always try to be like, oh yeah, man, well, I'm going to go out tonight to the Comedy Store. And he's like, all right, good, good. But then I'm like, oh, I don't have a spot though.
Yeah, but that's still work.
Yeah, I know.
That's still the job. I always try to feel like I'm trying to sell it to him. An old interview. I think it was maybe Paul Reiser or somebody like that. I think it was Paul. It was like some awesome 80s comic who was talking about when he was a young comedian. And I think the club in the city at the time was like Catch a Rising Star or something. And this is like the late 70s or early 80s. And he had an early spot and went home. And then his phone rang at home and it was Jerry Seinfeld. And it was like midnight. And he's like waking up. He's like, what? He goes, Jerry. He goes, Jerry, what are you calling for? He goes, what am I calling for? Where are you? What are you doing? He goes, I did my spot and I came home. And he goes, why? He goes, well, I did my spot. And he goes, you got to hang out, man.
Yeah.
He goes, that's the job.
Totally. Ugh. He goes,
that's what the job is.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, tonight I was blessed and I'm so grateful that I got a corporate gig. And I remember thinking, oh, maybe I should have had somebody open up for me or whatever. Because whenever I get a gig, I try to pay it forward. And I remember once I had nothing going on and I was completely broke. And then something just, Uncle Joey like appeared to me like Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, over my shoulder, like what are you doing, dog?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting here?
Yeah.
Just go for a walk. Go to the Comedy Store. And I went to the Comedy Store and I didn't have a spot and I was just hanging out and I ran into Brad Williams and he was like, Steve, what are you doing tomorrow night? I'm like, nothing. He goes, you want to open up for me? I got a corporate gig. He goes, it's for this liquor company. It's down in Orange County. Just do 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And he goes, I'll give you $500 cash, which at the time was a king's. My rent was $800.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
great.
I made over half my rent
in one night.
In one night hanging out with my buddy. And I bombed and it was horrible. And that's what those gigs are. But it was $500 and I got it because I just wasn't staying at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. No, yeah. Believe me, I know that when you go out, just fucking shit happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to happen if you didn't go out.
Right. But now what I'm trying to figure out, is that's great, but I have to balance my life kind of.
Yeah.
Like, do I have a life? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I try to squeeze it all in, man. I don't know. You know, you got work, you got shows, you got podcasts. I try to squeeze in.
But you have a family.
I got a wife, you know. Yeah, I got family that actually lives in the same state as me.
Yeah.
Which is pretty rare in this business, you know what I mean?
Well, like, when you say you don't have a life, like, what is it that you like to do for you when you're not doing that stuff? Like,
I don't have any of that. That's nothing. What I mean.
No, not even something before you're like, oh, maybe I should start doing that.
Well, this is what I do. Okay. I remember, and it seems like yesterday, but it was probably 7 or 8 years ago, where I would have a few spots in town. I was getting to the point where, like, I had a car, which is a huge win. I think I was able to, because Ren Azizi let me live for free in his condo that when I was broke. So I was making enough money with stand-up, like going out on the road with friends, hustling spots around town. But my days were completely to myself pretty much. It was before podcasts really took off. And I didn't have a podcast at the time. And I would, like, wake up when I wanted to. I would walk to the gym. I'd work out. I'd call my family. I'd check in with everybody. And I would just sit in a coffee shop and write.
Hmm.
And I love that. I love just mapping out ideas and going, this is what I want. And I have not had a coffee shop day. I moved to this apartment because it's really close to this coffee shop I love.
Which one?
Crave.
Okay, wait, is that by Van Nuys?
Van Nuys and Ventura.
Yeah.
I used to love that area so much, man. The Robbie Max Pizza was right there. And then the video store is right down there.
Yes.
I used to have my days right there, man.
Okay, that's what I want. And I was like, man, I'm going to be able to walk to Crave. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I've been in Crave 2 or 3 times in 6 months. And none of it, I've not had one day where it was just go in there with a notebook and chill. So I don't have enough of that stuff.
How much
do you
notice?
I'm grateful for everything. Don't get me wrong. This is awesome. But
when you get a day in the coffee shop to, like, write, how much do you notice the effect it has on your act?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's so much better. I'm not saying that, like, your act's not good when it's not, because, like, you know, but I just noticed, like, when I actually had time, yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, that bit's really working. Well, until you've had, like, a couple hours to sit down with it,
yeah,
it's not even hitting where it's peaks, you know what I mean?
You gotta put more work in.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that's just, like,
I love
just
those
work
coffee
harder,
shop
man.
Days, bro. I remember those days. Sometimes I would drive and I'd see you walking to the gym over here in Sherman Oaks. Like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm walking to the gym back then.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't
man.
Have time to do that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Where does the time go, bro?
I don't know.
Couple of things. I'm drawing a blank on one of them, but you told me that we were supposed to meet for coffee at some point last week, this week, and you said that you're helping out some buddies. And
Younger comics.
Younger comics and stuff like that. So you said that you wanted to talk to me about, like, mics or something?
Yes.
Okay, so what's going on?
Okay, so I started doing jiu-jitsu. It's been on my bucket list forever. And
well, that's where the time goes.
dude, it's like one day a week that I go get beat up, and it's...
That's great.
Whatever. I love it. But there's two guys that I became really friendly with that have helped me tremendously on that journey. And they wanted to start doing comedy. So in January, I was like, I just sent them to the fourth wall. And I was like, here's the thing. Everybody says they want to do it, and nobody really does it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, as I'm getting older, I'm just accepting that's a huge part of human nature. Because, like, with all the charity stuff that I do, right? All of these people say they want to help, but they never do.
Yeah.
And I start to realize, like, oh, that's just human nature. Like, when people are like, oh, man, I'm going to lose weight. I really have to lose weight. And then you've known them for 8 years, and you're like, well, do you want to lose weight or not?
Yeah.
And so many people
easier
with comedy
said than done.
Like, there's so over the years,
Everybody likes the idea of it.
Yes.
I would. That's what I want to do.
Right.
It's the tools that you need to learn how to do it.
Yeah, and maybe because these kids are like little badasses with jujitsu or whatever, they've put the work in, man. Like, I think they've done over 200 shows at the Fourth Wall since January.
Damn.
They're there like 4 or 5 nights a week, just putting it in. And I'm like, all right, man, like, you have to spread your wings now. Like, that's a great base. That's a great starting point. But I'm like, have you done the open mic at the Ice House? Have you done the open mic at Flappers?
Yeah.
I'm like, don't worry about breaking into the store yet. But I go, you got to be hanging there.
Yeah.
Go hang out there at least one night a week and just use that as the mothership. Use that as your treehouse. Use that as your hangout time. But if you could hit an open mic and then go to the store, I'm like, have you been to the dojo? I'm like, you got to start hitting these places.
That's what you need to do, is you need to make sure that you got on stage and then just then you got to go hang with the big boys. Not necessarily, I mean, you're not going to get on. And to be honest with you, you don't want to get on.
No.
You don't want to get up at the store yet.
No,
you like don't want somebody them to see
was,
you.
Somebody was talking about a comedian to me today that this person kind of breaks my heart because it was one of those comics that's a really good guy, but he just got his break too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's like seeing a boxer. Like, I remember somebody like Mitzi broke my balls for years and years and years. And there was this kid who I think either quit comedy or moved back to New York. But he was like one of those faces that you would see at the store and you're like, oh, I know. And you would go talk to that guy. And we were walking once. This has to be like 2005.
Okay.
And we were walking from the Comedy Store to the Laugh Factory because I think I was more in at the store and he was more in at the factory. So like he could come hang with me at the store and like there was no static. Like he could just walk in the back and feel comfortable.
Okay.
And then if I went to the factory with him, I was never comfortable there or whatever. But he was like, no, I can get us in and this. And I was like, like, it was like, oh, I'm more plugged in the comedy now.
Right.
And I remember him saying, he was like, no, dude. He goes, you got to look at your, if you're a stand-up, you have to look at yourself like a boxer. And he goes, you want to make sure you're paying all your dues and getting the right fights at the right time. He goes, you don't want a title shot before you know you're going to beat the champ.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way.
Exactly. You don't want to get up at the store until you're ready to handle the store.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Because it is... When I was coming up at the store, it was all killers, but they're all really young and not seasoned. But now it's like that place is like a comedy festival every night.
It is. But besides that, store, factory, improv, you never know who's in the audience. So forget about the club. It could be somebody from NBC, Diversity, Showcase, looking for the next whatever. You don't want them to see you because, you know, when you actually are ready – they're going to go, oh, I've seen that guy at the store once. He wasn't funny.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's why you don't want to get, like, I'm saying to the guys, like, get up on stage, make sure you go, whatever mic you had to hit, and then go over to the store.
What mics would you recommend?
I guess.
Like, where do you get up on stage? How many years in?
11. Yeah. I mean, for mics, I don't like to travel far because I feel like at 11 years in, I'm like, I'm not driving for fucking mics, you know. Yeah. So I'll do Robin Hood on Wednesdays is a good one. It's right around the corner from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. I just try to keep it to once a month right now.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to go there too much. I've done Fourth Wall a couple times, but it's not my favorite.
No, you're 10 years in, man.
Yeah. It's great for guys that... Because you can just get up. You know you can get up.
Exactly.
And if you didn't get up in that one, there's one every hour.
Yes.
And if you wanted to do 2 hours back to back, it's going to be different people in there.
Yeah, it's great.
It's like great for that reason.
People that are just trying to figure out what it's like to be on stage and to have an idea and then talk to strangers about it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's an entry level. It's a gateway drug.
I think that it's never good to do the same mic over and over and over and over again and get stuck in one place. You become a fourth wall guy. Like, I know guys that are like, that's the only mic they do, and they're fourth wall guys, you know?
Yeah, and you have to get out. Like, you know what? When I moved to the Valley, like, 10 years ago, I guess. How long have I lived out here? 8 years, maybe?
Yeah.
I remember, like, going out somewhere, and somebody had set up, and I'm like, what? There's like, I didn't know there was comedy outside the clubs, really. And there was a whole scene of comedians out here.
Yeah.
That talked about Hollywood like we were in Indiana. They were like, oh my God, you do shows in Hollywood? I'm like, It's 20 minutes away. What are you doing? You've been doing comedy 12 years and you've never been in the comedy store. What are you doing?
Insane.
Like, there's people out here that just get lost.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be one of those guys.
Yeah, dude. I don't like to overstay my welcome at places, you know, especially at 11 years in. If you go to the open, that's why I don't go to Robin Hood as much as it's around the corner and it's every Wednesday and I can get on if I want.
Yeah.
But in the, and we've talked about this before too. In the beginning, I would go over there and they were like excited to have me.
Yeah.
And they'd throw me on. And then I started going every week. And then before you know it, I'm waiting until 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? It's like, I think in the beginning, it's fine if you're hitting places every couple times a week. But for the most part, I don't think you want to be in one place. You want experience with different environments because you're going to be like out of your element the first time you go do a show somewhere. Like, let's say it's not a mic. You actually get booked on like even a bar show.
Mm-hmm.
The only stage you ever do is fourth wall. Like, you're super comfortable there.
Yeah.
So now you're not going to be used to like a bartender right next to you.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if the rules have changed, but like when I was paying my dues at the store.
Mm-hmm.
What was great about it is that you could actually pay your dues there.
Yeah.
Like, you could sort of earn your stage time by parking cars, answering phones, working the door. That system, I think, is awesome.
Okay.
But then, like, the improv and the factory, it seemed like unless you were famous, you had to pick which club you wanted to break first.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, okay, I want to get really good, and this is the only place where I know I can get really good. And so I was paying my dues there. But then there were guys that just hang out at the factory every night. And then they're not passed yet, but then they become factory guys and then store guys, then improv guys. Does that still exist?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
At what point in your career, or do you recommend people doing that? Because it's a little bit different. I agree with everything you're saying, that you just don't want to get comfortable in one place.
Yeah.
But it also seemed to me that realistically – you have to figure out which place you want to break first.
Yeah.
Because so much of it really is just hanging out. Like, I tell kids, like, there are people, like, they're 10 years in, they're 5 years in, they're 9 months in. I'm like, you have to hang.
Yeah.
You have to hang.
Pick that club.
Yeah, pick that club. Pick where you feel comfortable. Like, the improv was always super nice to me. Like, when Rita was back there back in the day, that was a fun place. But I was
Unfortunately, I think the store right now is not. I'm not saying don't go hang at the store, but I'm just saying if you want to break in at one, it might not be the easiest to start with that one right now.
Well, I still think, like, if you Rumble, like, I go there every month, not almost every Monday night. I go just to watch the door guys and the open micers.
Yeah, I go every Monday too.
And the friends and family.
Because
that's like a gang fight. Like, on Monday night, you could tell it's like the best young comics in the city bringing their best stuff.
Those guys are so good too.
So good. But like, what I love about the store is like, if you're there every Monday, and like, I'm not saying a baby comic, brand new, but like you're getting your stuff together and you're signing up for the open mic there, you're ready to do the open mic there, and you're signing up for Kill Tony, and you've been on Kill Tony a couple times, you've been on the open mic a couple times, and you start doing that year after year after year, then you can maybe get a job working the door,
right?
And I would recommend that to anybody.
Yeah. Yes, I know your limits. Like, know how long you're going to stay there. Yeah. Don't plan on staying there for very long. You can easily get stuck doing that too. And to be honest with you, I don't think the improv is going to do that these days. The improv is very corporate. I don't think factory is going to do that.
Really?
Anymore. The store does that, but even now, you have to be funny to even work there.
Oh, it was always like that.
Yeah, like you have to get like Adam has to like you. You have to be funny, and they have to be hiring at the moment.
Yeah,
you know, to because they.
Well, I don't think they're ever just gonna go, oh, we need a door guy.
Yeah,
like, I think you have to be like, oh, he's ready to be a door guy.
Yeah.
So when they go, we need to, who's then they go, oh yeah, hire that dude.
Right. I know a guy recently that works there now because he had a good set the other night.
Yeah.
At the mic. But he's been going for years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I don't know. How do you break into the factory?
If I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Dude, like you said in your story from 2005, you were walking over to the factory because he was in there and you were more of a store guy.
Yep.
You couldn't go there in 2005 without him.
Nope.
Still to this day. If I don't walk in there with Tom Tran, who's probably the only close friend I have that actually is past there.
Awesome.
If I don't walk in with him, I can't get in.
Yeah.
Do you know I walked in there with Jimmy Schubert one time and they turned us both away?
What?
At the factory? Me and Jimmy Schubert? And then finally, I mean, Schubert not going to stand for that shit. He was like, bro, I'm fucking Jimmy Schubert. I'm a comic. Are you guys kidding me right now? So, like, they let him in and they weren't wanting to let me in. They had to get.
When was this?
A year and a half ago.
Oh, God.
They had to get. I guess I probably shouldn't say his name anymore. I don't even want to fucking say his name.
Don't add to negativity.
But a comic who's known for booking that club, they had to go get him to come down to bring in Jimmy and then okay me. It's like.
Like it was a high school keg party?
Yeah. And the way that
you're... seniors only. Mike from the football team? Yeah, Mike dude. Who? Oh, you know the starting linebacker?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, Steve, you can come in Augustine.
Allegedly, the way to get into the Laugh Factory is you have to go down, I think it's Wednesdays, and you stand in line all day. All day. That's mm-hmm. how long the line is. And you put your name on a list, not to perform, to perform next week.
That's how the story used to be when I was trying to
and
break
in.
And
then the following week, you come back, stand in the line again for your actual spot, and then you showcase for whoever's there, which is supposed to be Jamie, but I've heard that he's, like, never there anymore. Mm-hmm. He just got, like, another kid with, like oh. you know what I mean? The guy's, like, 60-something. He's having kids. And he's, like, never there, so I don't know who exactly you're showcasing for, but apparently they're videotaping it, and I heard that they're all watched.
Okay.
But again, I think that line is so long because it's guys before their time auditioning. You shouldn't be showcasing so early.
Gotcha.
I think like if you want to work at a place and learn the business from the inside, smaller clubs are still doing that. Like
okay.
the Haha's doing it. If you want to go over there and volunteer your time of door guy, helping out with stuff, maybe even
who
flappers.
Books the Haha?
The weekends, as far as I know, is still Terry.
Okay.
And during the week, I think most of it is people's shows that outsource their
like fourth, like a four-wall show, outside promoters.
Yeah, Tuesday Taco Tuesdays, you know, with whatever guy, and he brings his comment. I think it's something different every night. But the Haha's always been Thursday through Saturday.
Terry
the
books
club
that
books
still?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually doing it, and I only do that one but once every several months. I'm actually doing not this weekend, the following weekend. I just hit up Terry, and I was like, I haven't had a whole weekend available.
Because that's a good room. Like when that's
it's a fun room.
Yeah, it's a fun room.
But take it from someone who got stuck working at a comedy club for 5 years. Know your limits. Like tell yourself, give yourself boundaries. Don't let people walk all over you because the more they'll never stop taking if you're giving it.
Yeah.
You have to say, like, I'm willing to – sweep the floor, do the door. I'm not willing to clean urinals, and don't break your own boundaries with yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
it's great advice for anything in life.
Totally right.
Because like people I've always I've always had a problem with boundaries because I'm always like I'm going to treat you good.
Yeah,
I was always entering into unspoken, unagreed upon contracts with people.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like I'm going to be cool. I expect you to be cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to work hard. I expect you to take care of me.
And they're always like, why would you expect that?
Right. But I'll tell you this, like, but that's my crew of friends. That's who I'm friends with.
Yeah.
Like I've never asked one of my friends for anything. They just give it when they can.
Yeah.
And I just give stuff.
Right.
But it's true. It's like, you have to be really careful who you give your energy to.
And it's almost not even their fault. That's human nature.
Yeah.
To take it. If someone's giving it, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
And you have to just say how much you're going to do. So I'm not trying to just talk shit about Haha. I'm just saying, like, these are the clubs that are not corporate to where they'll probably still let you do old school stuff like that. Like, hey, I'll do the door, I'll help out, I'll do the music, I'll DJ.
What's going on at the Ice House too?
I would say Ice House is another one. Or
Ice House is a great room.
Maybe Flappers, but I think Flappers is really by the book, and they'll actually put you on a payroll. I don't think that they'll let you work for free for spots.
Okay.
But I think that they'll have to approve of your act, and they'll probably hire you, I would imagine.
So I guess what I'm going to get back to my question with my buddies, because it's been a long time since I did the mics, that it's like, okay, it's time for you to start investigating other places. Go to the JoJo, go to Flappers, go to Ice House, go to Haha.
Yeah.
Hang at the store, hang at the Improv, hang at the Factory. I mean, just doing that, that's a full-time gig.
Yeah.
That's full time.
I definitely wouldn't do only fourth wall all the time.
No.
And don't become a fourth wall person.
Right. That's what I was just like, hey, man, that's where you got your reps in. That's where you got your feet wet.
Yeah.
But now you have to spread your wings. You got to start figuring out other stuff.
Yeah.
And they do meet me at the store to hang out, which
that's
is cool.
Great. See, I don't need to tell you this. Any comic knows this, especially in the beginning. Is most important thing is to get on stage as much as possible.
Yes.
Right?
Stage time, stage time.
So I'm not saying to stop that. But in Los Angeles and in the Valley alone, we have so many options for mics that you could probably do the same one once a month.
Wow.
And if you want to get up a lot, like if you want to do like two 14 spots a week, then maybe not once every month, but you can probably do them twice a month.
Yeah.
You can be doing Fourth Wall, Robin Hood, you got Wednesdays. There's another place on Cahunga that's Tuesdays. Haha's 5 nights a week, so whichever one you don't have somewhere else, you could do Haha. Flappers is Wednesdays. And let me tell you something about the Wednesday Flapper main room open mic. Mm-hmm. They have the bar one every night. I don't know how it works. I've never done it.
Right.
The main room Wednesday before their show, look it up online what time it starts. They watch.
That's great.
That is one club that they will watch, and if they like you, they will book you.
Okay.
Definitely. I think that they're kind of looking for new face, and they assume they might be a good bringer.
Yeah.
But fuck it.
Yeah.
If you go over there, if you can tell a joke and they like you, who cares? Do it. And it's free.
Yeah, that's great.
On Wednesday. But yeah, dude. I think the other thing I was going to tell you, because we were talking about the importance of having a life and stuff like that, and I've told you this a bunch. I think that you need to get away for like a weekend and go binge watch some shows and just relax and not do anything. Watch Stranger Things and Cobra Kai, bro.
I still haven't seen either.
That's fucking crazy.
I've seen the first two seasons of Stranger Things, but not
three.
Oh, that's really good.
Maybe I'll go home tonight.
Three's going to bring you back to the 80s and go, this is like when movies and shows were good.
Yeah.
Okay. It's that old nostalgic feeling.
They took a whole new aspect of the 80s for Stranger Things season 3. They almost went like the teen comedy route and like Magnum P.I. route.
It was
really
so
well, and good, they mixed it with like 80s horror. It was
can feel Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel Die Hard.
Everything, right. Man. I can't it's so great.
Dude, it's such a... And then Cobra Kai season 2 was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like you
need... Is Brett Ernst in it a bunch?
I don't think Brett Ernst was in this season.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't think he was in this season.
That's right. I don't think because he messed up last season. I mean, like, the character. Because remember?
Yeah, he's the cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to watch it. Right. I haven't seen the first season.
Dude.
I remember that was even Sebastian recommended. Show. He was like, you watch Cobra Kai?
Well, because we grew up on that shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when someone actually brings something back and do a good job with it,
yeah,
it's great.
For the fans, like they do remakes all the time, and it's like, why would you ruin that movie?
Right.
But they're actually bringing something back and going like, this isn't for us, this is for the fans.
But not only that, this is the one thing that I actually do like about what at least streaming services are doing for series, because before, like, they just would have done a Cobra Kai movie, so you would only had 2 hours to tell this story.
Yeah.
But this is ongoing.
Great.
This is like... are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah.
You know Obi-Wan, the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series with Ewan McGregor, right?
Yes.
He's coming back. He's doing a series.
There's a Boba Fett series too, right?
Well, The Mandalorian is not Boba Fett. It's The Mandalorian. It's the bounty hunter type of thing. It's coming out on Tuesday, actually.
Jesus Christ. But, nerd alert over here.
But no.
Well, dude, I liked this stuff when I was growing up, but I will say this about Star Wars. That last feature movie, in my opinion, was so horrible.
Yeah.
I have zero desire to see the next one that comes out. You don't have my... They lost my money with that franchise. They really did, because that was so bad. Like, the first, whatever was the birth of the Jedi or whatever with the chick or whatever, and I was like, all right, well, look. It was a remix of the first Star Wars with a chick, and it was just like a hip-hop remix.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll see what the next one is. And the next one was so bad that I'm like, you're never getting my money again.
Yeah.
So. You ruined it.
Yeah, I felt the same way with The Last Jedi. I couldn't stand
that.
But with what Ewan McGregor said, because he's coming back as Obi-Wan, he knew about this 4 years ago, and at that point it was just going to be a movie.
Uh-huh.
But now it's going to be a series on Disney Plus.
It's great.
And he's just like, I'm so glad it's that, because now I get to tell this story over like hour episodes instead of just doing 1 2-hour movie.
Yeah, like,
and
you know what I mean? Was so great about like Breaking Bad, The Sopranos. Like, my favorite show right now is Better Call Saul. I love it. Like, that's one of the things that brings me joy, where I'm like, I can't wait for the new season.
Yeah.
Because the storytelling, like, when it's better than a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what I want for you, Steve, because you deserve it, is I want you to have a weekend in Big Bear by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a little cabin that has Netflix, something where you can open the balcony, you know, and just if you want to take a nap outside under the trees,
yeah.
It's beautiful weather, nothing to bother you, turn your phone off, you just got Netflix, and just binge some shows, bro.
That's what you need.
Dude, I'm going to Big Bear this weekend.
Lucky you.
I absolutely love going to Big Bear because it's like vacation is always work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you go on vacation, you got to see this and you got to do this and you got to do that.
Yeah.
And that's not really a vacation.
No.
Big Bear, there's nothing to do. You can go to the lake if you want, walk around and get some fresh air. There's very limited restaurants. You just go, you bring some food, you grill it up under your own little cabin. And dude, it's awesome. I'm going this weekend with my entire family. My mom's originally from here, California. She's never been to Big Bear.
Wow.
And I don't think my dad ever has either. And my mom has talked about it since we were like little kids. She's like, we all as a family need to go. And we never did. Just like you were saying, everybody wants to do it. Yeah. But what are you doing to do it?
Yeah.
So, dude, a couple months ago, I just did a group message to my entire family, sisters and everything. And I was like, we're doing it.
That's awesome.
We're going to fucking do it. I'm like, I'm going to book the house. We're all going to split it up, the cost. Right. It's a big house. We all have our own bedrooms.
Sounds awesome.
Dude, I'm so pumped. And like, you got to do stuff like that. Sounds like an 80s movie.
And you talk about content and building up your YouTube page.
Like, yeah. I just take a little camera with me.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, it's going to be.
Sounds awesome.
I already had to like give a little pep talk to my dad and be like, listen, you can't bring cigars.
Why you can't go just
you can't smoke in the house because
still walk go for a walk with a cigar.
I don't think that's legal in Big Bear. I think you can't walk in the woods and smoke. It's like a fire hazard. Also, we're all trying to get him to cut down on cigars, so it's kind of like I was like, listen, if you want to smoke in your car, but like also you're not allowed to smoke on the property, so he can't walk outside and smoke because a neighbor might know the owner of the house and tell on you. Okay. You lose your security deposit, you know? Yeah. So that was already a thing.
It'll still be fun though.
It's going to be, yeah. Dude, you got to have a life. You got to be entertained so you can entertain.
Yeah. Balance is everything, right?
Yeah, dude. But Steve, I love you. What do you say we get out of here?
Let's do it.
I think that, speaking of family that, there's sometimes I'll watch a movie or I'll go to see a play or I'll go to a place, even a restaurant, and there's always someone in your mind that you think, I think that they would enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times it's my family, like my mom or my dad. I always think like, I wish that they would do more stuff because I know they would like this. And I always think that about your stand-up, and I think like I don't care if it's Netflix, whatever. I think that you just should be out there. Whenever you post one of your comedy videos, bro, and I see it, I try to repost it.
Thank you.
Because I just think that the world needs your stories, and I always want to like, you know, bring like my family to one of your shows. Like, forget about me. Let's go watch Steve.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's I just hope that I can get on the road more.
It's entertainment. It's funny.
For 2020, I hope to get on the road more. I hope to start doing more family-friendly shows. So people can bring their grandparents and kids.
Yeah.
And then work with my friends. Like, I'd love to have you open up for me.
That'd be great, bro. That'd be great. We'll do it. And that's it. Do you have any shows coming up that you want
to... Yeah, man. I think there's a brand new comedy club. The guy's going to text me tomorrow, but I think next weekend there might be an Escondido at this place called, like, the Grand Comedy Club. It would be a soft opening for their first weekend. But then for sure, Thanksgiving weekend, I'm at Salt Lake City at Wise Guys.
Cool.
The week after that, I'm with the Bronsons in House of Comedy in Phoenix.
Nice.
And the week after that, I love
that club.
I'm doing...
I love Wise Guys, too.
Landmarks to Denver Comedy Works South the second week of December. And then I'm back in the Belly Room, whatever Tuesday that is, like Tuesday, December 18th.
Busy holiday, bro.
Yeah, I'm booked between now and Christmas.
Nice.
And then... hopefully in January I'll be able to take a week off.
Nice. Well, it's good to be busy during the holidays, man.
Yep.
Real quick, do you have music set up or am I going to do
something? No, I got it.
Okay.
So, let's see what do I got. I have next weekend I have shows all weekend. I'm at the Haha Friday and Saturday in North Hollywood, and then I have another show in Hollywood, but to be honest with you, I'm blanking on where it is. You can go to the website homeschoolpod.com and click on tour. It's on there and how to get tickets and stuff like that and where it is. And that's pretty much it, you guys. Go to homeschoolpod.com. Click on sponsors. You can see all the sponsors of the podcast, including Amazon. Next time you shop on Amazon, please go on homeschoolpod.com first. Click the Amazon banner and do all your shopping. It's a great way to support the podcast, as is buying a Homeschooled Podcast t-shirt or sticker or mug or something like that. So just go to homeschoolpod.com, click on merch, and also don't forget to click the link in the description for Masterclass and sign up today. You can now sign up for Masterclass with a monthly subscription. You don't have to buy the whole year. You don't have to buy the whole class. You could just do $20 a month and cancel it any time. Click the link in the description and support the Homeschool Podcast. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I want to thank Steve Simone for coming in today, and I want to thank my co-host Kevin Lyons for your time and efforts. And I want to thank the listeners of the Homeschool Podcast, because without you guys, I probably would still just sit here and talk to myself.
Can't find this hole. Anyway.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. All right, you guys, have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
So I can say to you without that last intro and outro. Most of all, we are war ourselves. God, show me the way, because the devil's trying to break me down. With the Midwest is younger and restless, or restless. Nigga. Might snatch your necklace, and next to these, might jack your Lexus. Somebody tell these who Kanye West is. I walk.
Did that used to be the Hookie Lab? There used to be a place, I think it was in Worcester. It was a Chinese food restaurant.
Asking us questions, harassing, arrest us, saying we eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of shit? What's the basis? We ain't going nowhere but got suits and cases. A trunk full of coke, rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act a fool, but I'll be gone to November. I got packs to move. I hope God show me the way, because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I could do now to right my wrongs. I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid, because we ain't spoken so long. God, show me the way, because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now.
To the hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the scribbles. To the victims of welfare, feel we living in hell here. Hell yeah. Now I hear he wanna see thee more clearly. I know he hear me when my feet get weary. Cause we're the almost nearly extinct. We rappers as role models, we rap, we don't think. I ain't here to argue about his facial features, but here to convert atheists into believers. I'm just trying to say the way school need teachers, the way Kathleen need a Regis, that's the way I need Jesus. So here go my single doll, radio nieces. They said you can rap about anything except for Jesus. That means guns, sex, lies, videotape. But if I talk about God, my record won't get played, huh? Well, if this take away from my spins, which it probably take away from my ends, then I hope it take away from my sins and bring the day that I'm dreaming about. Next time I'm in the club, everybody screaming out. God, show me the way, because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now.
Next time I gotta make sure that I can pick it up halfway through. But that's not something.